You're listening to the Clutter Fairy Weekly, a weekly webcast and podcast brought to you by the Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas. If you'd like to participate in one of our live webcasts, please visit cfhou.com/weekly. You'll find a calendar of upcoming webcasts, as well as instructions for joining the Zoom meeting via the app or by phone. We'd love to see you. That URL again is cfhou.com/weekly. Now here's the weekly episode. Enjoy!
Hi, Clutter Fairy fans. This is the Clutter Fairy Weekly for March 22nd, 2022. I'm your co-host, Ed Gumnick, and I'm speaking with Gail Goddard, certified professional organizer and owner of the Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas.
Hi, everybody. The Clutter Fairy Weekly is the webcast and podcast that digs deep into the clutter that piles up between you and the life you want to be living. We explore the habits and behaviors that lead to clutter, and we suggest strategies to slow the accumulation, reduce the collection, and comfortably manage the stuff we decide to keep.
If you're new to our Zoom meeting, we want to let you know that you can share your comments and questions via the chat feature, and I'll try to make sure Gail addresses them before we move on to another topic. You can also use the raise hand feature if you'd like to make a comment or ask a question yourself via audio or video. We're also streaming live on Facebook, so you can share your questions and comments there, and I'll relay them to Gail. We're going to start, as we usually do, by talking about last week's tittle, and we actually had several options there, depending on where people were in preparing their taxes. The title of last week's tittle was A Certain Thing 2022 Edition. The assignment was to spend a little time preparing to work on your tax return. If you don't have to file in April or you've already taken care of this year's taxes, then your assignment was to focus your attention on a project that you've been spending energy avoiding. We'd love to hear from our participants in Zoom and Facebook. Who tackled either of these tittles this week? Please let us know in the comments. Zoe on Facebook shared this comment. I rolled my eyes and sighed heavily when I heard the tittle, getting tax paperwork together in one place. I didn't want to think about taxes, but I just did it. I have a shiny new folder with 2021 taxes written on it and all my paperwork together. Woo, thank you for the homework and for breaking down the tediousness into bite-sized pieces. And on the alternate assignment, Nancy left a comment on the show notes for last week on our website. Nancy said, it's amazing how something so small in size could use up so much of my energy because of my avoidance. It's only taken me 2.5 months to decide I couldn't use a very pretty calendar I got as a Christmas gift. Should I keep it or not? It's so pretty. I don't want to give it away, but I really can't use it. But it's so pretty. So today I made a commitment to a friend that I would let someone else get to use it for the remaining days of the year. Ed, I know you can figure that number out quickly. And that would be 284 days, which seems to me like plenty of time for someone else to enjoy that beautiful calendar.
Both of these comments were so great. They made me laugh. And Zoe, I really had to laugh when you said that you rolled your eyes. When I started reading that comment, I thought, oh God, she's really going to start complaining. But what she really said was, I hate doing that stuff and you made me do it anyway. We all hate being reminded of things that we need to accomplish, but have been avoiding. And I'm very happy that Zoe actually got it accomplished after all. Taxes still have to be done and you've made it easier to do so. Big congrats on that one. Having your folder ready with all the stuff in it is just that many steps down the road towards getting it done. And Nancy perfectly described how avoidance drags things out forever. She spent all that time waffling about what to do with the calendar, and it just stayed an issue all that time. Good for you that you've promised a course of action. And I caught that you used an accountability buddy to help you stick to it. So good job on both counts. You guys both did a great job. Thank you. Thank you for telling us about it. It was very entertaining for me.
M said, I sorted the tax info letters from the banks. I would not have started had it not been for the tittle. I am about to download the forms so that I know where things will go on the forms. Catherine said, avoidance was a success. I'm thinking that's a that is probably a negative report.
Okay, so your streak is still alive, is what you're saying. That's awesome.
Emily Sue says, I think the only thing I've been able to do is remember that I have to do the taxes. I'm planning on tackling it this week. What's your suggestion there? An appointment on the calendar.
Yeah, put an appointment on the calendar next week so you can know that you have a specific slot of time that has a start and an end, because you're not going to, you know, sit there for 14 hours in a row. So go make a 2-hour appointment or a 90-minute appointment or whatever, and spend some amount of time working towards it. And when you got the 90 minutes done and you're going to go on to the next thing for your day, then you can also make the next appointment on your calendar so that you can keep making headway. Do your appointment, make your next appointment on the calendar so that you're always blocking the next round until you get it done.
Rowan reports, I found my floor. And that sort of surprises me, because I thought Rowan's floor was already accounted for. Do you want to tell us more about that? Had you lost your floor again recently?
In the cold place that I live, I found, and I'm older, I needed new clothes. And
so you wouldn't freeze to death.
So everything became a big pile. And then I sorted my big pile, and my housemate went, it doesn't look any different because you couldn't see the floor. But then I, got it put away. So,
right. Stage one is sorting. Stage two is placing. So you did both of those. Congratulations. Yay. And, now you got your floor again. And it's a perfect example of, you get it done and it doesn't stay perfect. There's always maintenance, right? And so you just had a round of maintenance. Your life changed what was going on, and then you circled back and did your maintenance and got your floor back. So congrats.
Tammy reported, I can't find my taxes yet, but I printed an extension form.
Hey, step
so
one.
So that is a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Lise said, weeded both front and back yard this week. Very sore, but feels good to have it done. I'm guessing that is on the that was in the category of project that's been avoided.
Yeah, I would avoid weeding at the great, great effort to avoid the weeding. So good for you.
I enjoy weeding. It's sort of meditative and restful, but it is also brutal on the back.
Yes.
It's really hard to find any way to do it that I'm not sore for days afterwards.
Right, right. This doesn't take a big physical toll.
Barbara said, I did my taxes and then found out that I could have taken a bigger deduction for the in-kind donations. Oh, well.
You can file an corrected amendment. Return yeah. if you want. Yeah, just yeah. amend it. That's no big deal.
And then Jane said, a large painting, 50 by 60, no longer hanging on the wall, finally got donated.
Oh,
thanks for the motivation since the taxes were already done.
That's awesome. But that's a good one. Like, that creates a bunch of wall space that you can do something else with. And so that's fabulous.
Okay, we have a lot to talk about on our main topic. So let's head in that direction.
All right.
Many of our homes contain black holes that are easy to pack with clutter and even easier to ignore. Spare closets, basements, attics, crawl spaces, the cabinets under sinks. That drafty old wine cellar of yours, Gail.
Yeah.
There underneath the Clutter Fairy Mansion. And so
it's
on.
It's the wine cellar that is behind yes. me. Yes. Got yes. it.
Today, we're going to unpack the mysteries of hidden spaces and offer ideas for keeping them in our awareness and under our control.
For those of you watching or listening, I can predict most of the time what you see is clutter. Anything sitting out on an open surface or on the floor in the pathways, anything visible when someone walks into your house. After that, I'm sure that those drawers and cabinets and closets that you go into all the time are top of the list of cluttered spaces, exactly because you go into them all the time. So you get reminded that they're a wreck every day. But what about those cabinets that you open once a year or a decade or never? Those places you filled with stuff that you never wanted to see again, couldn't bear to let go of. Remember putting all those boxes in the attic? When was the last time you could get up that drop down ladder anyway? These are the hiding places we need to talk about today. But first, I want to discuss this. What does it mean when we choose to put things into hidden or difficult to access spaces? Is stashing things in cumbersome hiding places a practical storage system? Or is this just another way to avoid or put off an overdue keep toss decision? Before you all start to explode, I think it's a little bit of both. The less storage space in your house, the more creative you have to be about storing things. And those weird, oddly accessible spaces become a necessary part of the storage in your home. However, the less storage space you have in your home, the more necessary it becomes to shrink your contents to fit the home space you have instead of cramming it all in there willy-nilly. So you have to ask yourself this question. Am I stashing things in hard-to-use places just so I can keep more than will actually comfortably fit in this house? Am I avoiding making a final decision about something and letting things go that I really don't need to keep up with anymore? If you're lucky enough to have a house with lots of storage space, then you really need to ask why you're using all those hidden spaces to store things. Sure, you can fill up all the available space, but why? Why make your home a more stuffed box just because you can? In that situation, it's almost always because you're using the available storage to keep things rather than to curate them and make important keep toss decisions. It's quicker to stash things somewhere than to stop and make that it's time to get rid of it decision. And with lots of storage, you don't have the major consequences until you have to move. Or you go to your great reward in the sky and you leave an overstuffed house for your family to clean out. Better to think of your stuff as coming in and going out with the tide. Things come in, they hang for a little bit in the house, and then they need to roll back out. Don't worry, more will come back in with the tide. There's more coming. So figure out a way for it to roll out again instead of your house becoming a stagnant backwater of old, stale, never used, long forgotten stuff. Now let's look at the various awkward hidden places where you stash stuff. And we can start at the top, as it were, your attic. I once got paid by a widower to clear out his attic because he couldn't climb the stairs anymore. His wife had been stashing things in there for their entire marriage. And you wouldn't believe what I had to carry down those stairs. So many old papers, old household goods, old everything, all covered in inches of dust and wasp nests, for God's sakes. Apparently they had easy, undisturbed access under the eaves straight into the attic. It was like an archaeological dig up there. If you're parking something in the attic, which almost always requires climbing a ladder, you've sent it into a dark hole and it's probably never coming out. Clearly the only decision you've made is, where can I hide this forever? The attic above is mirrored by the basement below. Even if your basement isn't finished out as a regular room, a basement is another inside the house storage unit where things go to decompose. A basement is almost always a stash house for unwanted items that won't fit in another space in your house. Basements in particular are used as junk rooms that no one intends to ever clear out. Whether it was set up with shelves or storage of any kind, all after items have been added for so long, eventually all the stuff gets piled in together with no rhyme or reason, and it becomes impassable and it's impossible to find anything anymore. The attic and the basement are big hidden rooms in the house, but what about the smaller hidey holes? Ed has cleverly suggested that we discuss the underworld, and by that we mean under the kitchen sink, under the bathroom sink, and under the bed. These are much smaller dark holes that things go into and then get lost forever. They're hard to reach, and the openings are awfully weirdly shaped. There's all sorts of pipes under the sinks, and the bed opening is only a few inches off the floor. Once something goes under the bed, you usually have to get on the floor with a stick to push things out the other side. Because of the odd shapes, these spaces are difficult to make fully functional without some special intervention. Even so, it's not hard at all to lose things in the underworld. The best you can hope for is that it's possible to retrieve something. Hardly ever is it easy to retrieve something. Another hidden difficulty you spot is those upper level kitchen cabinets. You know the ones. You can't get into them without a major stepladder. And maybe there's a similar bank of cabinets in the laundry room. Often things get tossed up there because it's too much of a hassle to get out the ladder. So you just sort of throw it up there. And it's so hard to reach over the washing machine. And the supreme upper cabinet space is that stupid cabinet over the fridge. You have to put the stepladder next to the fridge, then reach over the top of the fridge to get something in there. I put things away on clients' jobs all the time, but I know that stuff is never coming out again once I put it up there. These ladder dependent spaces are really black holes because it's hard to put stuff up there and twice as hard to get it back out. Another big hidden space is big furniture places. So think of entertainment centers that have all the cabinet fronts, built-in bookcases that have usually some kind of cabinets, china cabinets. So there's a glass part at the top, but then there's always a little cabinet at the bottom that you can stuff things in. Wardrobes, desk drawers, big coffee tables with storage. So maybe it's a coffee table where the lid comes up and there's storage underneath, or there's a coffee table surface and then there's containers that go in underneath the bottom, or it just has a bottom shelf. That's one of those places where things get chucked and nobody looks at it anymore. You can also
a party hiding place,
right?
Yeah. When you're ready to, it's time, you know, the party's 15 minutes away. People are about to arrive and
oh my God, dash, 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 right? Exactly. And the pantry and fridge and freezer, those are hiding spaces for things that you never get all the way through, because food is something that we keep adding things in the front, but we never go back and scoop it back out and scoop the old stuff out very well. So it is something that creates the back of the fridge, the back of the freezer, or the bottom of the freezer, or the back of the pantry shelves, depending on how deep your pantry is, becomes a place where things, you know, quietly shuffle a couple inches at a time as you put more things in front, and they go to the back and they become lost forever. Or maybe you have a big walk-in pantry and it's got three sides and it has many shelves that go up to the ceiling. And when you moved in, you put a whole bunch of stuff on that shelf up at the top and you have to get out like a regular ladder. Like the step ladder isn't even tall enough. You have to get out a big ladder to get up there and put things up, and they go up and they never come down again. Or you pitch something up there and you can't even see it anymore. And so once it's sort of out of sight, it's out of mind forever. All those extra storage spaces in the pantry become a black hole that no one wants to get anything out of again. You can also think of closets as a black hole. It's a good hidden hiding space. Spare closets in particular, so not your master closet that you, whichever closet you go in and out of every day, but all of the other closets that aren't primary use for your clothing, like a linen closet or the coat closet, they fall into that category, or any spare bedroom that somebody's not actually sleeping in and using the closet all the time. Sometimes people use them to cycle the extra clothes, like the out of season clothes go in the spare and the current season clothes stay in the master, and you cycle them in and out. But most of the time they're just used as your little in-house storage units, and things get stuffed in there and forgotten about. I have excavated many a spare room closet, and what comes out of them are holiday decorations that nobody's using anymore. Leftovers from the kids that used to live at home that don't live there anymore. They boxed up some things and shoved them in the closet, and you've long since forgotten about them and said, oh, that belongs to my kid. Or the things that are your kids are still living at home, but this is the stuff when they were little, and now those got shoved in the closet in the corner on the bottom or up above so that you can put in the things that they can currently wear. And so the outer edges of the closet become hiding holes where old things go to die.
Connie mentions children's former rooms.
Yes.
As that, this can be a great big hiding place if you haven't recaptured it, reclaimed it for another purpose or several, then it's sort of easy to just leave that door closed and occasionally open it to throw something in there and then pull it shut again.
Right? Exactly. Well, and I think parents are loath to go in and de-scrambleize their kids' rooms. They don't really want to figure out what went into that box that they put in or that they took to college or brought home from college, or when they moved out after high school and they put a bunch of stuff in the box and said, I don't want this to come with me, but I want to keep it. And they just sort of shoved them in the closet. And the truth is they didn't make any keep toss decisions. They just shoved all their stuff in a box and shoved it in the closet because you are their free storage unit. And so there's probably a lot of stuff in there that they don't really give a rat's, you know, what about at all. And there's plenty of things that can come out so that you can reclaim that space a little bit. Yes, you can keep a few boxes for your kids, but those boxes need to be curated and made sure that it's not just a whole bunch of trash in there that they didn't want to deal with in the moment because they were ready to go out and go to college or start their life or move across country or whatever they were doing to be on to their next thing. So those spare closets have a lot of leftover falderall that needs to be processed and moved along. And, you know, yes, you can keep something for your kid, but you better be sure you know exactly what's in there and how big of a mess it is and whether it really has stuff that they care about now. Because in the moment when they were unpacking their room, when they were trying to move out, when they were getting ready to go to college, they were focused on what was coming and not what they were leaving behind. And so there's probably a lot of stuff in there that they haven't thought about for a minute. So you can take some pictures and send them some pictures, and you can throw out the trash and pull out the pencils and find the old office supplies. And there's lots of stuff that you can let go out of there. Another small hidey hole is a medicine cabinet. For some reason, we stash a lot of stuff in that medicine cabinet. It's all little bits. There's a million little lip balms and old medications and whatever. And ultimately, the medicine cabinet ends up being full of medicine that you're no longer taking. And you don't trade it out because you don't want to have to deal with it. You don't trade it out for the current medications. And so the current medications is up on the counter in front of you. So that's another one. You just got to open the door and go deep diving, do the excavation, find out what's in there and whether it's all stuff that you really care about or not. Because, you know, wouldn't it be better if you could put your current medication back in the medicine cabinet? Just a thought. The last one I'm going to talk about here is jewelry boxes and accessory trays. Girls in particular do this where, you know, they just add more jewelry boxes instead of going through and looking at the jewelry and deciding whether they would keep it or not, all or not, whether they would still wear it. And so we just add another little box. And then the little box becomes the place where we stash little pieces of paper and extra coins and buttons and whatever. And no one ever goes and cleans it back out. So it's a good one to go fluff, 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 pull everything out, resort it all, figure out that you've lost five of those earrings. You've only got one of a pair of earrings and you would never wear this necklace again, and move that stuff along. The masculine version of that is those accessory trays that sit out where you're supposed to come and put your watch and your wallet and, it, you know, collar ties and whatever, cufflinks. Those trays end up being, you know, collect the coins, collect the trash, collect the paper out of the wallet. They end up being drowned and never fluffed again. And so that's another good one that it's short and it's small and it's tiny and it's easy to clear out. There's so many stash spaces in your house, and I'm sure you have a few or a lot in your space. But my final message is this: you don't have to fill all of them. And the stuff that you're trying to cram in them is probably stuff you need to seriously consider whether you still need it or not. A big purge of those hidden spaces and a round of long overdue keep toss decisions, and you'll have a lot more breathing room in your house. So who wants to tell me about their crazy space in their house?
Well, M said in reference to the scene behind you, if that were my wine cellar, it would be stuffed with boxes, china, furniture, artwork, scrapbooks, alas,
etc. Right?
Others chimed in to agree. Marcy said, we have what is supposed to be a little wine closet off of the bar that we don't use. And they took off the wine bottle part of the shelves and put other things there, plus the extra area under the stairs. We didn't mention under the stairs.
Yeah, that's a good hiding hole.
That is another hiding place. Yeah.
And usually because it sometimes goes in the side and then goes around underneath. Like sometimes that room, it makes a curve or it goes back under the bottom part of the stairs. And so you end up bent way over at the waist trying to get those boxes back in there. Yeah, I've cleaned out a few of those in my time. That is a serious stash space.
Linda said, I use one of my closets for staging on the way out. If I can let clothes hang in there for a while, it's easier to know for sure I am ready for those items to go.
Okay. You have a parking space working.
Emily Sue said, I can think of some things I can throw out at the top cabinet in my kitchen. We actually use those troublesome cabinets above the refrigerator because I am one of the 2% of human beings who can reach them without a ladder.
Right.
So that's where spare napkins, paper towels, and dog food live.
Which is wonderful because you're 6'4".
Yes. And we live in a tiny house.
Right. And so you can actually reach up there. Most of the people that I work for, we got to get out the ladder and climb up there. I certainly, and then half the time you end up going up the ladder and then standing on the counter and then reaching over the fridge to get into that stupid cabinet over the fridge. Yikes. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so, and then you have to like reverse that. So at some point that operation becomes not possible. It becomes a safety hazard for you to be getting up on the ladder. And, you know, better that I go up on the ladder and do it. But, you know, I know you can't get it out later. You're not going to be able to get down and climb up there and pull something out. So.
Well, and you also have to sort of make a trade between, do I put things in those cabinets or do I store things on top of the fridge? Because on top of the fridge is a handier storage place where most people could reach something like boxes of cereal or bins, you know, light bins, light things that you can store up high. And if you put anything in those cabinets, you can't conveniently store anything on top.
No. Yeah. Cause you either have to be able to leave it clear so you can open the doors, or you put it in front and then you can't open the doors. And so then you effectively locked yourselves out.
You can only use them for things that you get out once in a blue moon.
Right.
When you're willing to unpack it all.
Right.
Barbara said, I had really deep shelves in my bathroom, plus huge drawers in both bathrooms in one house. Found 6 deodorants when we moved. Didn't buy more for 2 years.
Right, because they had been stashed back there. Yeah, a lot of times the bathrooms, if the bathrooms are bigger, then you get a wall of cabinet is as deep as the bathroom counter. Right. And so it's like the pantry that you can reach all the way back in and get your whole arm in there. And unless you plan for being able to pull that stuff out, the stuff in the back gets completely forgotten.
Do you ever put like Elfa or similar pull out baskets in those?
Oh yeah, you can put down
tracks,
rails that hold the slide out drawers. Yeah, I've also used oh gosh, I'm gonna forget the name. There are people that make custom slide out drawers that take the existing space and substitute out a slide out shelf that's on tracks that can hold a lot of weight. That's Shelf Genie. Thank you, Linda. It is Shelf Genie. So they can do that. And then you can also use bins. And I tend to use long, narrow bins like you would use in a refrigerator where the front space isn't very wide, but it's also deep. And then you can have some long, thin boxes that you can pull out the edges and see into it. And that helps you take advantage of the depth as well and not lose it as much.
Yeah. Emma says, I use ladder dependent storage for things that are used once or twice a year, which is a good strategy. And in fact, wouldn't you, I mean, there's another important point in there, which is if you are putting things in your hiding places, they should be things that you do use, not just hide.
That's a very, very good point. Like that's the whole part of, it's a hidey hole and you hide it so that you don't have to think about it anymore. And then it's still there 20 years later. And I'm thinking of this addict that I was talking about at the beginning was the guy had a foot injury and he couldn't comfortably climb this to the second floor. And the access was off of the second floor hallway, the attic part, and the attic ran the whole length of the front of the house. So it was walk-in, but it was at the outer edge of the house. So the roof was slanted at the back, but it was the whole length of the house was this open space. And his wife had been stashing things up there forever. And it was completely full. And he got worried because one of his neighbors said that they had a pipe issue or something happened with the water in their house and they had to get in the attic and he had to clean out a pathway for the person to get into the attic. And so he got worried about it because he hadn't been up there in a decade. And so he was asking, you know, I need this to be cleared out so that if there's a problem, they can get in there and I can't go up. And so I spent many appointments hauling stuff down these stairs and it was old work paperwork of the wives and old crafts. And this is where all the photographs ended up. And this is where all the kids' cast-offs went. And here's old storage containers that didn't have anything in them. And here's the old fabric. Like you could tell all of her hobbies that she started and did for a while and then stopped doing. They all ended up in there. And I ended up with an immense amount. I made millions of car rides back and forth with all the stuff to donate. And there was hardly anything in there that he wanted. We shredded a bunch of old tax files. We pulled out some photographs and I left them for the family to look at. And there was some artwork, but hardly anything beyond that stayed in the house. It all just came downstairs and went in my car to be hauled off. And it was a massive project. And I'm sure that his children will be quite shocked when they have to go up there and realize they can empty the house when he's gone. They're going to have that much less to haul away. So you are creating those hidey holes you're creating the necessity for someone beside you to haul it off when you go to your great reward, or you will have to dig it out when you decide that you need to move. And so you're just postponing your pain at this point. And you have to think, do I really need to work this hard to get it in this really weird space? Or am I really making it obvious to myself that I probably don't actually need this anymore?
I can't remember if I've ever shared the story with you before, but a friend of mine bought a house in Montrose in Houston that an old couple had lived in till the last of them died. And the children didn't want to deal with it, so they put it on the market as is. It had an attic packed full of stuff, and so they bought it, you know, as is with contents. And my friend found $35,000 in cash in the attic.
Wow. Wow. So seriously,
if you have a packed attic and you needed an incentive to maybe deal with that stuff, especially if it's someone else's stuff that you inherited and you're not, you know, you don't really know what's up there, you should probably dig it out.
That's crazy.
And then I also just started reading a book of letters from Kurt Vonnegut to his first wife that his daughter found when she went to clean out her mother's attic. There was all kinds of junk up there, and she found a box of previously unpublished writing of Kurt Vonnegut
that she turned into a book.
Yeah, very cool.
I'm sure. How cool.
Connie said, you are forgetting the freezer. Did we not talk about the freezer?
We did talk about the freezer and the fridge a little bit, but yes, she's right. Freezer is a good place to stash stuff, and you know, it doesn't stay frozen forever. Sometimes it just dies. Yeah.
Well, you gotta
fluff the freezer.
Almost nothing that is sold for storage can really stand up to the freezer indefinitely. So, freezer burn gets in there into everything sooner or later.
Right. And if you find that you're throwing out a lot of food, when you go into the freezer that you're constantly going in and finding something else that's died, then you have to tell yourself that you're buying more food than your family is consuming, and you need to slow down the volume of what you're purchasing. If it doesn't come home with you, then you don't have to throw it away later.
That is true. Melanie says, yes, out of sight, out of mind. That's why I often have things stacked visibly, but then I have clutter. I have ADHD bad and get distracted so easily. So visible storage mechanisms are really necessary, but I need neat visible solutions.
Yes, you do. And you probably need some labeling, and you probably need to consider that being ADD and easily distracted means that more isn't helpful to you. More is really a detriment to you. And so being more ruthless about what you let go can only improve your situation for you. If there's less there to look at, it's easier to find things, and it's the piles are less distracting. It's easier to corral, and it'll be easier for you to function if you can decide that you don't have to keep every single thing and be really ruthless about it, because you're just going to help your future self. Make sure that you're looking into doing the digging and the research about what works for ADD people, and focus on solutions that work for ADD brains.
Linda said, I like clear bins for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
M said, my uncle used cardboard tags on long strings, dangling at reading height for the things he had stored in the rafters so that he could find what he needed.
Interesting. That's a
pretty cool solution. Kind of fun.
I wonder if that was a garage thing or an attic thing.
Good question.
That would have been a garage thing.
Right.
Garage, she says. Yeah. Yeah. It's a great solution. And some people would find the dangling tags annoying, but I love that it's like it was like a card catalog for the contents of what was up in the rafter. So it works. If you're okay with the dangling participles there, the little labels hanging, then it would work.
Connie says, I have a large standing jewelry box that I am afraid to put valuable things into. So I use it as a giant junk drawer for crafts, batteries, tools, etc. If a robber ever tries to grab my jewelry, surprise.
Well, and you probably still can go into it and make it not be a super cluttered mess, so that you can actually use the stuff that you're stashing in there. And surprise to the burglar, he'll just get organized batteries instead of jewelry.
Samudra reminded us that medicine cabinets are a really bad place to store medicine. Mm. If you have a small, wet, a bathroom that's always humid and damp, it's not great for the life of medicine. So you might be better with those somewhere else. Nicolette said, don't forget the cellar. Now, we talked about basements, and I don't know, is there any, I haven't lived in places with basements or cellars in such a long time. I'm not sure. Is there any distinction between a basement and a cellar?
It's a good question.
I mean, wine cellar, obviously. Your cellar right there.
Yeah. Well, and it may be a matter of the finishing and whether it's more exposed to the elements or less. But truthfully, if you think about it, any room down at the bottom of the house, if it's more exposed to the elements, it's less of a reason to stash things there. And it's more of a reason to go and circle through the contents and say, has the thing that I put out there, is it aging? Is it being destroyed? Is it being, is it being turned? Is it being eaten? that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I will say that I went into, where am I thinking of? Oh, I went into an attic over a garage. So it was not an attic that was climate controlled in any way. And they had the couple that had this space had stashed all of their kids' toys. The kids were long grown adults, and all of the kids' stuff that they were saving for the grandkids went up there. And they were going to move, and so we had to empty it. So we had to put a ladder up there, had to climb up there and hand things down the hole to them at the bottom. and everything, it's Houston, of course, everything that came out was covered in roach poo.
Yes.
Yes. Like there was roach stuff everywhere. It was all dusty. It was all, the plastic was cracked and dried because of the heat level just completely destroys the plastic. So every plastic toy up there was basically, you know, if we touched it, it broke in a million pieces because it was so dry and hard. And it just basically, they put it in a crock pot and left it to sit for 20 years. And when I went to take it out, everything just crumbled into dust. And so we basically threw away 95% of the contents of that attic. And at the time, if they had decided, okay, we don't need this stuff anymore, and we can save one or two things for the grandkids, and I can pass them on and let someone else use them, somebody could have been using those toys for another 5 years or 10 years instead of cooking them at 130 degrees in the Houston heat every summer for a decade and letting them die. And so you will create a toxic mess that you have to clean up if you stash things in non-climate controlled areas, particularly. Yes, I'm preaching it.
Yes.
Sorry. It's true.
Karen on Facebook said, my crawl space is full of decorations. I hope to clean it out by fall. We didn't really talk much about crawl spaces. They're, I mean, similar to basements, but sometimes even worse because they're often open, have open ventilation to the outside.
Yeah.
And so there's really very little, I mean, unless you can put closed containers, if they're really good closed containers, that will preserve the contents, but you have to be pretty careful about storing anything that's vulnerable to moisture, mold, insects, rodents, etc.
Yeah, all that stuff, right?
The other thing is, you have to, with crawl spaces, you have to be a little careful to make sure that you are not blocking emergency access to utilities. Mm-hmm. If, you know, if somebody had to get down there to mess with pipes or wiring, you don't want to have to pull everything out that you've stuck in there.
Right. Well, and truthfully, if you have to shove it in a crawl space, you're desperate to keep it.
Yeah.
and you need to rethink about why you're working that hard to keep it. And if you need to keep it that bad, then you have to ask yourself, what am I keeping in the house that I can really let go of so that this can stay in the house? Because a crawl space is just like, it's hard to get to, it blocks access, it's not climate controlled, it's a pain in the patootie to get it out, back out again. And, you know, it really, there's hardly any good reason to stick it there unless you really are desperate and you're happy to have it be exposed to the elements.
Right.
Not much passes that bar, I'm telling
right.
you.
Right. Rowan shared a great tip, which is that broken jewelry and single earrings are great for crafters.
Yes, that is.
So you can keep them for
crafty jewelry. That's like a crafty little gift bag that you can hand to somebody.
Keep it for your own projects if you do that kind of thing, or give it to a crafty friend, or donate it to a creative reuse center.
Absolutely. That's exactly the kind of stuff I take to Texas Art Asylum all the time.
Emily Sue said, it's easier to get rid of things, especially if it will be replaced later when there is a steady source of income. If someone endures long periods of unemployment, there might be hesitation to part with things cared about. Unemployment really changes mindset and the tendency of keeping things is there.
I get it. I do. Because yeah. You feel like the resources are lost forever. And people who are unemployed usually get reemployed later. Of course, there's stories where that isn't true, but most of the time you're unemployed for a while and then you get employment again. And you can also think about, if you need money to replace something, you probably have something else in the house that you can sell, trade, you know, put into a resale store and get money out for. I mean, there's other ways that you can generate a little income to replace something if you're worried about it. But you can also not give away everything, but thin the volume of things. So a lot of times we have way too much of something and we're trying to store 15 items of the same thing when we can really get by with three. And so you can keep the variety and reduce the volume and still make an impact on your storage capacity and not be completely without of something if you're concerned about that.
And it's always a matter of finding the balance that works for you between the risk that I will need this again, but not be able to get it again. I won't be able to afford it. Won't be able to find the same thing. And what is it costing you to keep it? I don't think we talk enough about what it costs to keep things. And we do indirectly, but you know, the cost of keeping it clean, using up storage space for it, having to move it out of the way to get to the things that are behind it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's always a cost in your life to the stuff you choose to keep.
In terms of maintaining the house, having it be easy to function. I mean, I think the biggest thing that the first thing that we sacrifice is functionality. We keep things to the detriment of our functionality. And if you find that the things that you're keeping are preventing you from doing something easily, then it's worth another look. It may be hard to replace, but almost all the time there's something else that you can use in its place. The example that comes to mind to me is we talk about multi-use kitchen tools a lot. If you don't have a big kitchen, if you have a little bitty kitchen, then keeping a whole bunch of things that only do one thing in the kitchen instead of a few things that have multiple uses means that you're crowded out of your kitchen. And there's an equivalent of that everywhere. Yes, you have this one thing and it serves this one purpose, but is there another item that can solve that problem? And then you don't have to keep two things. You can just keep one. It is an evaluation about how much space do you want to give over to making sure you're prepared for any possibility versus living comfortably in the space and functioning easily and not struggling every day to do the basic things. And so reaching that balance for yourself is important.
Well, and then, you know, the spectrum of diminishing functionality eventually reaches risks to your health and risks to your safety. If you have so much stuff that you can't move safely around, then something has to go, even if there is a risk of needing to replace it later. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, you know, not tripping and falling in your hallway or not being able to escape your house because the back door is blocked or not falling down on something and having stuff fall over on top of you is a more important safety concern than can you still use that thing later when you think you need it. And I think people forget, yeah, you don't have something, but you can be creative about figuring out another option. And you can call your friends and say, hey, I could really use my family's coming. I could use a platter. Do you have a platter I can borrow? I mean, there's ways to solve the problem that are creative that don't require you keeping stuff against all possibilities. Or you keep your favorite platter and you let the other five platters that you have in there go, and you just use your favorite platter for everything. So, I mean, there's ways to cope and still be able to do what you want to do.
Karen had a follow-up comment. She said, my crawl space is vapor wrapped in the basement and perfect for storage. I am just not storing things anymore, thanks to the Clutter Fairy.
Yay. And you know what? You're going to be super happy when you move out of that house someday that you don't have to go digging through the crawl space and finding stuff. It is the funny response that when I work with people and we're clearing out a space and we end up with some negative space, like we end up with a shelf that doesn't have anything on it or a drawer that doesn't have very much in it. And people sort of respond to that by going, oh my gosh, we need to put something in there. It's like, no, you can just live with the space that's empty and or thin, right? You don't have to fill it up. It does not have to be jammed. And so just live with it as not very much in the cabinet and be happy about that and see what it's like. And, you know, find out how much easier it is to get in and out of that cabinet because there's not very much in it. And see what that change does to your existence.
You know, I don't have it right at my fingertips, but there was a YouTube this week, a YouTube comment this week from someone who had a wall of boxes in the bedroom, and she said until she forced herself to deal with it and unpack and remove those boxes, she hadn't even realized the cost it was taking, the toll it was taking on her. You know,
to look at the boxes and be in there.
The first time she went back into the room after the last box was gone, the feeling of relief was so huge.
We do a whole lot to avoid. And it takes a lot of mental energy, right? And when you can finally clear it out and say, I'm done, it's complete, you're going to feel a lot of relief. You're going to realize how much energy and noise that you are. You make it in trying to ignore the wall of boxes, and nobody says you have to do it all at once. That's the whole thing.
I need to make a couple quick announcements. First one is I want to remind those who are watching or listening live that we have a YouTube channel with nearly 200, it might be over 200, I'm not even sure, videos, right? Because YouTube does not make it easy to count how many videos you have on all kinds of organizing topics. Visit cfhou.com/YouTube. While you're there, click subscribe and click the bell icon next to the subscribe button if you'd like to get notifications when we post a new video. Let's talk about next week.
Okay. Spring
in the Northern Hemisphere is finally here. Hooray.
Yay.
Bringing warmer days, more sunlight, and we hope a burst of fresh energy. Let's take advantage of an early spring day to spring forward on a few household organizing tasks. In our next episode, we'll look at often neglected corners of our lives and share a list of simple tasks where you can score big decluttering wins. Join us on March 29th at the usual time, noon U.S. Central Time, for Spring Into Decluttering, 20 Tiny Projects to Start Moving Forward.
That will be fun.
Let's talk tittle.
Tittle. The tittle this week is called Coming Out of the Dark. The assignment is to take inventory of your hidden spaces and to make a plan for excavating the shadiest of your home's hiding spaces. So you want to jot down a list of places in your home where you know, or you at least suspect, that you have hidden clutter. You can find a sample list of possible hidden spaces, and we're going to put them on our show notes. So you can go there to see the list.
Oh, but let me share that slide again.
Oh yeah. So you're going to show the slide.
You can make a note of that URL, cfhou.com/TCFW112.
Right.
And that'll be up by, it's been mid-morning on Wednesday, mid-morning Eastern time. The day after is when I usually have that posted.
When it gets done. Some examples are, like we've talked about today, your basement, your coat closet, your jewelry box, your medicine cabinet, under the bed, under the kitchen sink. So you want to highlight or mark with an asterisk the three hiding places that you've been ignoring for the longest. So you're going to make your full list of all the spaces you think have hidden stuff, but then go asterisk the three oldest ones. And make an appointment with yourself to take a look at one of these black holes and process any clutter that you find. Once you've gotten that one done, then schedule appointments to manage the clutter in the other two ones that you asterisk. And if you find that you're successful about clearing them out, you might want to work your way down the rest of the list. But your tittle for this week is to make the list, pick three, and make an appointment to work on one and schedule appointments for the others. And then let's see if you can come back and tell us what kind of crazy stuff you found in your hidden spaces.
Connie said, and this is, here's another cash incentive for anyone who needs one.
Right.
Connie says, my husband uses his car as a giant hidey hole / trash can. I once cleaned it out and found $350 in singles and coins. Which we used to make an extra payment on his car loan.
Look at that. Oh my goodness. And that's like, if you ever want incentive for doing the decluttering and you start finding money, you can just tell yourself, I'm getting paid for doing the work today. $350 is a pretty good payment for the hard work cleaning out his car. I'm sure it was a disaster zone.
Well, here's one more from Whitney. I cleaned out my under the stairs closet this morning, found a bag of goggles, and now I can return the ones arriving from Amazon tomorrow.
Oh my gosh. Yay. Because you'd forgotten they were in there, didn't you? That's awesome. There you go. You just save, and see, that way you just save yourself the money that you spent on the new goggles.
Okay. That's
wonderful.
We are about out of time. So
okay.
If you're watching this on YouTube, we would love for you to join us live. To get notifications about upcoming events, we invite you to join the meetup group by visiting cfhou.com/meetup. You can also follow us on Facebook by going to cfhou.com/Facebook, or subscribe to our mailing list by visiting cfhou.com/subscribe. We love to hear from you, so please send us your questions, comments, and topic suggestions on YouTube, Facebook, or anywhere else that you find us. And you can always reach us through our website at clutterfairhouston.com.
Thanks, everybody, for coming this week. We're always happy to see you, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.